Hello, this is Elder Brandon Hartfield. We're thankful to have this opportunity to come and be on the radio broadcast again this week. We certainly desire your prayers, and by the Lord's help, we pray that this service could be a blessing to those that are listening. We're going to look to the Lord in prayer. The Heavenly Father, as we come to you this day, Father, we're so thankful for the many wonderful things that you've done for us. Father, you've been good to us so much better than we deserve. And Father, we pray that you would lead, guide, and direct by your Holy Spirit. Aid us as only you can. Help us to be your people. Help us to preach your message. And Father, for the good that is accomplished through it, let us step aside and give you the praise, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Going to be in Isaiah chapter 9. Isaiah 9, we're going to pick up in verse 1. It says, "Nevertheless, the dimness shall not be such as was in her vexation. When at the first he lightly afflicted the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, and afterward did more grievously afflict her by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan and Galilee of the nations, the people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined." And we know that light, of course, is Christ. "Thou hast multiplied the nation, and not increased the joy. They joy before thee according to the joy in harvest, and as men rejoice when they divide the spoil, for thou hast broken the yoke of his burden, and the staff of his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, as in the day of Midian. For every battle of the warrior is with confused noise, and garments rolled in blood, but this shall be with burning and fuel of fire. For unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. The Lord sent his word unto Jacob, and it hath lighted upon Israel. And all the people shall know, even Ephraim and the inhabitant of Samaria, that say in the pride and stoutness of heart, the bricks are fallen down, but we will build with hewn stones. The sycamores are cut down, but we will change them into cedars." Or sycamores, excuse me. Don't know why I said sycamores. But we will change them into cedars. "Therefore the Lord shall set up the adversaries of Rezin against him, and join his enemies together. The Syrians therefore, and the Philistines behind, and they shall devour Israel with open mouth. For all this his anger is not turned away, but his hand is stretched out still. For the people turn not unto him that smiteth them, neither do they seek the Lord of hosts." And notice the statement there. He's brought judgment upon them, but with judgment they do not turn. They do not repent. "Therefore the Lord will cut off from Israel head and tail, branch and rush in one day. The ancient and honorable, he is the head, and the prophet that teacheth lies, he is the tail. For the leader of this people calls them to err, and they that are led of them are destroyed." Notice what he's saying. The leader of the people are leading them away. They cause them to err, and those that follow them are destroyed. "Therefore the Lord shall have no joy in their young men, neither shall have mercy on their fatherless and widows. For every one is an hypocrite and an evildoer, and every mouth speaketh folly. For all this his anger is not turned away, but his hand is stretched out still." I'm going to stop reading in verse 17. But as we read this, I know a lot of this talking about Jesus' coming, and a lot of prophecy even concerning how Israel would reject him and things of that nature. But I want us to notice the attitude here. He said he would have no joy in their young men. And then he said, neither shall he have mercy on their fatherless and widows. Oh, God's always concerned about the fatherless and widows. He's burdened about them. He's concerned about them. He talks to this land and says, I'm not going to be dealing with them. God can turn his back on the fatherless and widows. Yeah, because the people are just walking and living in sin. He says, everyone is a hypocrite. And I know to a certain extent, we all are. There's nobody perfect. We all make mistakes. But it's more than that. They're just walking in sin. They're walking in that which is wrong. They desire not to turn from it. They just desire to continue in it. He said, they're an evildoer, and every mouth speaketh folly. There's nobody seeking justice. There's nobody seeking righteousness. There's nobody seeking to be right with God. And so he calls them a hypocrite. We alluded to this a little bit last week, but deal with it a little bit more this week. Y'all notice that when Jesus came, who were the people he called hypocrites? It was the Pharisees and scribes, wasn't it? Oh, they would uphold Moses' law, and they would uphold this and that, and they were leaving off things. Some of the weightier matters of the law, one of the things that Jesus rebuked them about is they did not even honor their father and mother. The way that they dealt with their parents was, well, if I do something good for you in your old age, it's just a special blessing. You're just blessed to have me as a son. It wasn't, I want to help you because you're the one that fed me. You're the one that helped me growing up. You put a roof over my head. You put clothes on my back. You took care of me when I couldn't take care of myself. It's right that I take care of you. But they treated it like if I do something good for my mom or daddy when I'm older, well, they're just blessed. They're just lucky. It's not an honoring thing. It's really, if I do it, somebody needs to honor and praise me. It's the way they acted, wasn't it? They committed sins, but they tried to hide them. They tried to cover them up. We dealt with that a little bit last week. And they treated other people that committed sins as horrible, wretched, vile people. And we know sinfulness is horrible, wretched, and vile. We know that. But the goal is that people walk in righteousness. That's the goal. I've got family members walking in sin. I do. Think every family does. You think I want their destruction or do I want their repentance? Which one do you think I'm praying for? I'm praying for their repentance. Some of them, when I'm alone, you'll near about break down, saying, God, get their attention. God, help them to see the truth. God, help them turn. God, if I'm doing something to be a hindrance or a stumbling block to them, help me to see it. Help me to be what I need to be before them. Help me to know what to say. If I can't be a blessing to them, send somebody in their life that'll be a help to them. I want them to repent. And I'd let them know that. If they say that they're saved and they're living in wrong, I want them to turn. I don't say, well, you're misbehaving, so just get away from me. But that's how the Jews did, wasn't it? That's how many of them did. Especially the religious rulers of that day. They were hypocrites. And look, you even see that with many that started to follow Jesus at some point. Oh, they love to come and hear Jesus. Yeah, he's giving it to those Pharisees and scribes. And then after he got through with the Pharisees and scribes, he turned to them and he said, now y'all need to repent. And he started giving them things that they needed to do in their lives to serve God. And they said, well, his words are too hard for us. and thousands walked away. So much that Jesus turned unto the 12 and said, "Will y'all leave also?" Y'all remember that in Scripture? And sometimes we can see the hypocrisy in somebody else's life, but we don't want to deal with our own. We don't want to deal with our sin. And so those people, while Jesus was trying to teach them, He said, "Yeah, I'll tell you the wrong of the Pharisees and scribes, and I'll call them to repentance, and I'll tell them they need to return. I'll tell them they're vipers and hypocrites. But don't think that means I don't need to talk to you too." He said, "Everyone's an evildoer." Sounds like the world we live in, doesn't it? I'll be honest with you. I'll confess something. Even while we're here on the radio, I've had a hard time the past several years. I get calls from churches from time to time. "Oh, do you know a good preacher? Do you know somebody that could come and preach for us?" And if I'm available on a Wednesday night or something I can work out, I try to help out. And I try to go places and do things. But I've heard so many things over the years. And it's easy to harden your heart with all of this going on. You know, I had a church call me one time and he said, "Look, we had a preacher come in and do a puppet show." I said, "For the kids?" They said, "No, for the adults." I've had people call me and say, "Look, our preacher cusses. Our preacher's out here getting tattoos and hanging out with bikers games more than he's hanging out with church members." And look, I understand trying to witness to people, but I'm not hanging out with biker games. I'll gladly receive them. They're certainly welcome to come into church and hear the gospel. But you don't find Jesus going into the bars in different places looking for people. He allowed them to come to Him if they so chose. And He would then eat in their home if they would allow Him to do that. But He was calling people to repentance, not to walk in sin. And I hope you see that in Scripture. I've heard people saying, "Well, this preacher, he's been married, divorced, and remarried." That goes against Scripture, but he's out here preaching. You know, it's easy for me to find all that evil and those sins and then say, "Well, I'm not doing that, so I'm all right." But I don't need to do that. I need to be looking and saying, "God, where's my sin? I know all this sin that's out there in the world, and those things need to be preached against and taught against and dealt with in different ways. But God, help me to see me. God, don't let my sin get in the way. God, let me see my sin." And we as God's people, we don't need to be the hypocrite. We don't need just to be seeing somebody else's sin and somebody else's hypocrisy. We need to look at our own. We need to examine ourselves by the Word of God and say, "God, see if there be any wicked way in me." And I'll tell you what, it'd be good if you'd go back and read that entire psalm. He's dealing with evil all around him, and he's even wanting vengeance on his enemies and things of this nature. And when he sees all that within his heart and he says, "God, it would be easy for me and what I'm dealing with right now and what I'm going through and what I'm having to face, it'd be easy for sin to get inside of me. Oh, would you seek my heart? See if there be any evil way within me." And the context and everything of that psalm is wonderful in its place. But do you see that he was also acknowledging that while sin and evil is abounding, even Jesus talked about that in the latter days, that as sin and evil would abound, that the love of many should wax cold. Are we not missing out on love in a lot of God's people? There's some people who have got to the point, "I'm not even witnessing Christ anymore. I'm not going out. Look at the sin they're doing. Look at the wrong that they're doing." But yet we got a commandment. a mission before us. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. They won't hear us. They'll reject us. They're mean. They're cruel. They're wicked. They're walking all this. And we don't see that we committed a great sin when we're become cold-hearted and hard-hearted. And we are no longer seeking their salvation. If we're not careful, we'll become just as sinful as the people that we look at and say they need to repent. He said, the Lord shall have no joy in their young men, neither shall have mercy on their fatherless and widows, for everyone is an hypocrite and an evildoer. Everyone. Everyone. They were going to do without mercy because they were hypocrite. You know, the main part of this study that we've been going through dealing with mercy is to get across the point. To get across the point that we need God's mercy. I need it. You need it. There are standards for God's people. We want to focus on that. I like to focus on qualifications for ministers and deacons and leaders in the church and things of that nature. I do. Now, I'm not going to compromise on that. I'm not going to give up on that because it would be wrong to do so. But I'll say this, even the very best amongst the sins, it might not be something that disqualifies us from an office. But you know, little sins can grow into bigger sins. A little leaven can leaven up the whole lump. A little sin can grow and multiply. And if we're not careful, before long we become the hypocrite. People today look at the scribes and the Pharisees and they want to say, yes, the religious people that need to repent. And look, I'll tell you amen on that side of it. But if you're not looking at yourself and saying you need to repent and you need to turn to God and you need to turn away from sin, are you not the hypocrite? You know, pendulums swing back and forth. And back in Jesus' day, you had the very religious that were so caught up in their religion, they showed no mercy, they showed no forgiveness. And they show no need to turn from sin themselves. But now that pendulum's almost turned the other way, where we've gone so much with love instead of righteousness, that people don't see their sin before God. They don't see their evil doing before God. And they're looking out and they talk about this religious group, that religious group, this preacher, that preacher. And they notice all the faults and the failures of everybody out there. And they're not looking and saying, I am far away from what God has called me to be. And you don't see yourself as the hypocrite. It's not that the left is the worst or the right is the worst. God didn't say don't turn to one side or the other. He said don't turn to the left hand or to the right hand. I hope you understood what I was saying there. There's some people say, oh, these over here on the right, they're really bad, they're really wrong. Oh, these over on the left are really bad, really wrong. I want to tell you this, both sides are wrong that don't look to God. Both sides are wrong that don't turn from their sin and repent. And it's just like most churches today. You either got one group that's so focused on doctrine and truth, and we got to hold to this doctrine, we got to hold to this truth, and they don't do a whole lot of evangelism. They don't do a whole lot of reaching out. They don't have a desire to grow. They don't have a desire to mature, to see others come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Or you got churches that are so focused on evangelism that they never teach. And so the people never leave sin. They never turn. Sometimes I wonder if even most of their converts have ever even trusted Christ. And there's fruit to bear that out. And the Bible does say you can judge by the fruit that they bear. So don't get me wrong. You got to put it in its rightful place. But you know both churches are wrong that do it. If you're not holding to doctrine, you're wrong. And if you're not reaching out to the lost and dying world, you're wrong. It is not a one side or the other. And it's not a meeting in the middle either. Because middle changes from generation to generation. I will never preach to people, "Oh, we need to find the middle of the road, preacher. I drive down the middle of the road, I'm going to be hit by oncoming traffic." I need to be right where God wants me to be. Not just in one point, not just in a couple points, but in everything according to the Word of God. He didn't say teach some things to the people. He said teach them all things whatsoever I commanded you. And some of us are trying to treat church like Burger King and have it your way. This isn't a restaurant, an all-you-can-eat buffet where you just pick out what you want out of it. Just take it all. And dear friend, until we see that a whole lot of us are hypocrites in our day and time, until we repent, and even the lost person, "Well, I can find fault with this religion, I can find fault with these people." Guess what? You're dealing with sinners, and you're dealing with the church at end times. You can always find fault with them. The devil will point them out to you. But have you seen the sin within yourself, and have you seen the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ? If you haven't, don't you know you're just as bad of a hypocrite as they are? And the sad thing is, if they're saved, you're in worse condition than they are. You've got to make somebody bigger than you if you're going to hide behind them. Last time I hid behind something, it was bigger than I was, so I could hide good. I'm going to hide behind a bush, hide behind a rock. It's got to be bigger than me so I can hide well. There's a lot of you trying to hide behind people, trying to use other people as an excuse for your sin and your wrong. You've made them bigger than you. That's what you've done. You've made them bigger than you so you can hide behind them. And worst of all, you've made them even bigger than Christ so you can hide behind them. That's what you've done. You need to stop with that hypocrisy. You need to look into the perfect law of liberty. You need to look at Christ and see who you are and what you stand in need of. If you're lost, you need to turn and trust in Christ. If you're saved and you're walking in sin, you need to repent of it and turn from it. But there is no mercy for the hypocrite who's walking in hypocrisy and walking in false good and won't acknowledge his own sin and his own wrong. We sometimes look out and we make fun of people in the Scripture. "Oh, look at here. Look at these Israelites wanting to go back into slavery. Look at them not having faith." And we don't see we're the exact same people they are. We're not learning from Scripture. We're using it to try to make ourselves look better. When in all honesty, if we look at it truthfully, it makes us look worse. We look at Peter and say, "Look at that. He got his eyes on the waves. He got his eyes on the storm, his eyes off of Jesus." We ever do that? Do we ever do that? I have. I've had that happen in my life before, that I'm so focused on everything going on out in the world, everything going on at church, that I've lost sight of having my faith in God as I should. I've been there. And when you find yourself there, instead of making excuses and blaming somebody else, all you need to do is just hit your knees and say, "God, forgive me." God's anger, he said, was not turned away. And his hand was still stretched out still. That means for punishment. Is the hand of the Lord stretched out to us today? And I'm talking about for punishment. It says anger not being turned away. Are we missing out on mercy because we refuse to repent? Because we refuse to turn. Because we refuse to admit our own sin. God forgive us. God have mercy on us. Dear friend, today if you're lost, everybody else in the world, and all that they do wrong or all that they do right, it's not going to help you. You've got to see who you are. See who you are. See that you need Christ. See that you need to turn to Him. You say, well, there's hypocrites down at the church. Yeah, there are. And if you get saved, you might be one more of them. But you need Christ. Until you see that truth, you're going to be stuck in a hypocritical way that will lead you straight to hell. Focus on what you need in the Lord. If you're saved and you're doing things that you know God is not honored and pleased with, you can try to cover it up. You can try to say, I can continue on. It's worked thus far. I can keep going. You're not fooling God. You're not deceiving Him. But you are deceiving yourself to think that you're going to have a good relationship with God while walking in rebellion as Him. And I'll remind you, rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft in the eyes of God. Would you just stop? Would you humble yourself? Would you turn from that sin and stop playing the hypocrite? We need God's mercy today. We need it. You got anger. You got unforgiveness. You got pride. You got the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life. You got that dwelling within you. Would you repent? Well, somebody else in the church needs to repent. This person's doing worse than I am. Stop looking at them and look at your own heart and look at God. And see what you need to do. You can't control anybody but you. If any man will open his heart's door, the Lord said, I will come in and sup with him and he with me. And a lot of us are missing out on that because we got our eyes fixed on everybody else and can't see that we're being the hypocrite. And it might be that the rest of the church would change if we would just step forward by faith and follow the Lord. But you'll never know that as long as you're stuck in pride and hypocrisy. Let us judge righteously. Let us seek the truth. Let us seek the Lord and let us turn unto Him. That we can see His mercy to us again. But while we're stuck in hypocrisy, what did He say here? He said, for everyone is a hypocrite. He said, neither shall have mercy on their fatherless and widows, for everyone is a hypocrite and evildoer, and every mouth speaketh folly. Let us repent of these things, that we can see the blessings of God in our life and be what God would have us to be. If you have anything upon your heart, our number is 601-606-4681. You can write us, Brandon Hartfield, 8 Smith Drive, Hattiesburg, Mississippi, 39401. You can email us, our email address, brobrandonh@aol.com. That's brobrandonh@aol.com. You can also look us up with a website we're affiliated with, faithwaymissionarybaptist.org. That's faithwaymissionarybaptist.org. Heavenly Father, we pray that You'll take this message, use it to Your honor and glory, and for the good that is accomplished through it. Let us step aside and give You the praise, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.